Depending on what you've experienced this year, you may have a different take to life. You may be feeling like, well, 2019 has been amazing. And I praise God if that's your situation. You've had a great time. You've enjoyed it. God has done great things for you. Maybe 2019 has been terrible in many ways. Again, I say to you, there's much you can harvest from that challenge that you've experienced. And praise God in that challenge. Amen? And for some of us, 2019 has been not so great, not so bad. It's a mixed bag of stuff. And so we're not clear about how to feel about that. I want to say to us, though, that it's be careful about making a year the source of your failure or success. Be careful about defining yourself with what happened in a year. It is just in a year. And we've gone through a lot of things. Does that make sense? So don't define yourself with a year. If this year was terrible, don't say, I'm not going anywhere this year, next year. Oh, no, it's just a year. And I say that because we live in a world that has institutionalized impatience. Yeah, we're in a world that is really institutionalized impatience. Think about it. Today, if I do not know a word, I do not need to walk to a library. I just Google that. It's institutionalized. You know, today, if a movie comes out, I can hit my TV right now and I can buy it or rent it on demand. Right now, I'll just say, okay, I'm getting that movie right now. Or I can walk next door and get it. Does that make sense? Today, if I have bad credit, there's a guy that will deal with me if I have bad credit. He'll give me money anyway. I don't have to wait to build it up. Does that make sense? It's institutionalized impatience. And if we're in that space, you can come to a year, to an end of a year with a lot of impatience of what went wrong and not think about what God has done in your life and really helped you to do well. So then we focus on what we got, what did we not get, what at the beginning of the year we set up these goals and we didn't get to these goals. And then we become very miserable because we let the year define who we are. Not God. We let the year begin to define who we are, not God. We let time define who we are, not what God says. So here I want to start by saying, let God be God. Proverbs 13, 12, 13. Bible says here that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I mean, you know when you're hoping for something? You're hoping for something so much. If it's fulfilled, man, it's a tree of life. But there lies a trick. Sometimes you've hoped for it so much that it's become your small god. So when it doesn't come, you just lose it. You get spiritually sick, emotionally sick. Why? Because it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to be. That's why I keep saying, let God be God. You see, you've got to be open to God's will. You got to be open to God's way. If you're not open to that, you're going to get very offended with a lot of stuff you set out to do that doesn't come your way, the way you want it to be. It says, whoever scorns instructions will pay for it, but whoever respects commands is rewarded. That if you respect God's ways, it works for your ass, it works for you. But if it's all about, it has to be this or this, in a very specific way, it's all good to have ambition, but be open to how God brings it about. Be open to that. The reason I say that is you have to surrender. The difference of going through life with a very predetermined way of doing it, you will not see it when God is giving you a different direction and showing you how to say, here's where you want to go, but you can go this way. Or maybe that's, I can take you higher than that. Or you're not ready for it yet. And God says, you got to be able to surrender. In Matthew 6, 31, 34, talks about, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So we tend to seek the results of what we want. God says, you seek me first. Seek me, and I will provide these things for you. We don't like that. We like to say, I'm seeking what I want. So no, you seek me, be righteous, and I will empower you to do what is necessary. And when it doesn't come in time, you still have the fuel to keep doing what you need to do. The biggest challenge we face is just waiting on God. If you ask me, the biggest challenge of us as human beings is we are unhappy with so many things because we don't wait on God. We have a schedule that it has to happen at this time. In our world today, there's a lot we can control. We can control our temperatures at home right now by being here. You, on your phone, you can get your lights going and all that stuff. You may even get your machine running, maybe, depending on how sophisticated your house is. There's a lot we can control. And that gets in our way of seeing who God really is. Because then we get in this wall of, I can do this, I can do that. It's, what about how will God help me do it? So you have to be able to surrender. So I have a question for you. When is the last time you were just at peace, either way? You're just at peace either way, if God gave it or didn't give it. That you trusted God so much that you're fine either way. God has a plan. A plan not to destroy me, to take care of me. I trust Him. Either way, I trust you, God. It's like a Joseph situation. I dream, but I'm being sold to be a slave. I still trust God. Like a Daniel story. You know what? You said I'll do great things, but now I'm praying 3 times and I'm being thrown into the fire. Even if you do not save me, I know you'll take care of me. That kind of faith is what we've got to begin to have. Otherwise, this year is going to get to an end and you get miserable. You're going to sit down, and like most human beings, we like to go to what we did not get. We got a lot going for us. We got a lot going for us. Surrender to God and enjoy that relationship. You see what happens. Secondly, don't let circumstances rob you of joy. If you understand that you can let God be God, that's what Daniel did, that's what David did, that's what Joseph did, and in that space, there was up and downs, but God came around it. So they didn't run away because of just the difficulty of it. So let's talk about circumstances that tend to get in our way. Now, let's face it. There's some things you find yourself into. Maybe at work, you don't have a very good boss. It's toxic. It's not very nice. But if you let that stuff get into your system, you're going to get very unhappy. Work is a stressful place sometimes. For some people, it's a just stressful place. Business can be stressful. Running your own business can be very stressful because customers, clients come and go. Sometimes they're coming in an avalanche. Sometimes it's a desert. There's nobody there. And it can really be scary if you're not trusting that God will take care of you. And if you peg your joy on what's happening in the environment, then truly there's no God that will guide you. You will lose the calmness and the peace that God gives to us. So it's possible that you've lost joy because one thing is not in place. Just one thing is not in place. Or maybe 2 things are not in place. Or 3 things, but you have 7 things in place out of 10. But you're losing joy for 2 things. Or some of us set goals and say, okay, 9.9 are in place, but half of that is not in place and you're not having joy because of circumstance issues. And some of us have the opposite way, 7 are out of place and 3 are in place. And when I say that, it's because we use numbers to justify our position of joy. Says who? The last time I read, I never saw God operate like that. He never said that because you have 3 in place and 7 out of place, then something is wrong with you. That is a cultural way of thinking. It's not a biblical way of thinking. That is a humanistic way of thinking. It's not a biblical way of saying, I'm going to be joyful no matter what the circumstances are. So he says, rejoice always, pray continually. We've been talking about prayer, and today is our last message on this one for the time being. But pray continually. When you pray, you begin to see what God is doing in your life, but you have to pray and remember, and also quote Scripture. And the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because in every circumstance, God has a plan. So when Daniel was going into being thrown into the fire, God had a plan. But we're going to throw him to fire first. Now, Daniel, if you ask Daniel, I don't know, but this is my supposition. Maybe he just wanted God to work this thing out before he got into the fire. But God said, wait, we're going to go through the fire. How many are you there? 4 of you in there, then get you out. And then The whole place changed, and the people worshiped God. Here's something I want to tell us, that in every circumstance, God is at work. You see, if you let the circumstance dictate how you view God, what has happened very quietly, and the devil wins, is that you don't see God has allowed you to be in that place so that you may open your eyes and see his hand. Not beat yourself down and say, oh, what? How miserable am I? Rather, have hope in that situation. The Bible says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We don't like that space when it says it's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The reason you're there is so that you may open your eyes and see God. Not get caught up in something is wrong with me, something is wrong with what's going on. Open your eyes and see God in that place. And then he says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Two things happen when you let circumstance take over. You stop being inspired. You stop having joy. You lose peace. Why? Because the circumstances are now taking over. Now you're losing it altogether. You're not happy anymore. But if you see God in it, you're going to praise God in your troubles and say, God, help me go through this with faith. Then he says, do not treat prophecy with contempt. Then you start doubting what the Bible says. Because you start saying, but this is my reality. But God knows your reality. And he's bigger than your reality. And he can take care of that. Can I say something? I think that what we got to do well today is I want to challenge us to really have memory scriptures that we pray with. That we pray with and talk about so that they can speak truth to our circumstances. When you do that, you transform. But if you just babble in anxiety and you're just saying the same thing over and over again, that doesn't change it. You got to say, God, you say these things about me. You say, if you trust in me, I'll take care of you. I mean, David went through it. He's been chosen to be king, but he was being chased around. Saul was throwing spears at him, but he says, but God, you said I'll be king. He was taken over to the Philistines, trying to kill him. But God saying, I'll still make you king. In those years, he trusted God, and God brought him back. Maybe that's your story. Maybe your story is that Saul is throwing spears at you. It's not just lining up. Your story is that, man, at every corner you turn, you have to pretend to be like a mental guy to survive. But David was taken care of. Circumstances should never change who God is. And that only happens when we pray about it and have the right scriptures and then say what the scriptures say to us. And I want to say to us today, it's Christmas, just got done, now we're coming to New Year's Eve and all that. Are you taking time to memorize scripture? And I know some people sit down and come up with a new resolution and all that stuff. I have nothing against it. I live where I am. I don't do New Year's resolution. I stick with what's going on right now. So let's deal with it. New resolution is not a bad idea. It's a way of doing things. But if you let that get in the way of you so that you don't hear God, then you need to bring yourself back, recenter yourself to God and say, God, what do you want me to hear? And how can we do this in a better way? Amen? And then the contempt of the Word of God stops because you start believing what it says. The Bible can say a lot of things, but it's just saying stuff that you don't believe into that. To me, it's very personal. If it says, seek me with all your heart, I always ask, am I doing that? Trust me with all your heart, am I doing that? Am I anxious? What's doing that to me? So I take the Bible very seriously. I meditate on that. It transforms my mood and how I behave. So let's understand this. When I talk about circumstances, no change of circumstance can repair a defect of character. Most of the time, what God is really trying to do with our issues is our character. That our character must transform, turn around, and be more godly. But we're not seeing that. We're just complaining and angry and upset with God. And God is saying, I need to fix this character. And the only way is to put you through a trial. You see, when trials come, our character really is revealed. Yeah, I've not been walking for a while. So yesterday I challenged myself. I said, I'm going to walk. So I started walking. The first time I went around the the mall, I was feeling pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good. Okay. But one walk is 15 minutes. By the second time, I was holding up. And I said, how many times have I gone? The second time I started asking that question. By the third time, I was having a blister. And I said to myself, okay, what does it say? It's been a while since I walked. That's all it said. I need to keep up with it. I didn't say, oh my goodness, I made a mistake to take a walk. I should have just walked one time. No. No. I just know I've not walked for a while. I'm having a few blisters. Okay, I'll be at it tomorrow. I'll be walking tomorrow. I'll be at it because I realized that's the only way to get going. You break down the muscles to make them strong. That's the principle. Characters, we go through things so that we can grow. And we sometimes think, take away the circumstance. No, the character needs to grow. And it will not grow if you're not using the word of God. It will grow when you hear the word of God and be transformed by it. Amen? Thirdly, don't be fooled by comfort. Seek righteousness. Let's face it. In today's capitalism world, what do we sell? Comfort. We sell the speed. That's comfort, right? Or you can speak onto that. You know, I like those adverts. They're funny, man. They'll show you an old, you know, grandfather sitting with a baby, and they can speak on the mic, on the remote. Thank you. Help me. Thank you. On the remote, and things work. I have nothing against it, but that's all comfort. And they're selling you comfort. Everything is, oh, you can just, it's at your, oh, I like the one that you can buy a house in your, you can buy a car in your house, and then you make the car in your own house. And the wife says, you should have done that outside. It's all comfort. Do you understand that? Everything's all comfort. Oh, I like the other one that you can shop in the car, buy the car online, have it shopped, and you just show up. I didn't even check the engine and all that stuff. Just come and get it. Like, wait a minute. I got to know what I'm buying. I just trust everything you put on it, and I don't check. You just tell me, and it's all good. Because Blue Book says it's good, then it must be good. I don't check for myself. It's all comfort. Don't do anything. I'll do everything for you. Because that's sold to us, now that's what we seek. Oh, you know, I went to so-and-so's house. They have the remote, this remote, that, and so I got to get some as well. I'm not sure that's the way to live. It creates envy and competitiveness. So I want to talk about, maybe you're seeking comfort, not righteousness. You're seeking lack of trouble, lack of challenges. Instead of saying, you know, I need to be righteous. The Bible says here, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The Bible says God pays attention to our prayers when we seek to please him, to be righteous. He really pays that too. And says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? God doesn't want to harm you. If you're eager to do what is best, you'll be okay. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. That part, I'm not sure we like that part. It says, but even if you suffer. Do you realize suffering is part of life? Well, I got a few believers around here. Do you realize that suffering is part of life? More people are coming on board now. Suffering is part of life. If you get sick, is it nice? I guarantee you'll get sick at some point in your life. You will get. You'll get a flu. For some of us, the flu is a killer. Oh my goodness, this, I'm like, as a flu is, it's about 7 days to 14 days, you're good. You may have a tummy that's not working so well after Christmas. That happens. Suffering is part of life. If we embrace it, we do well. If we run from it, it owns us. We're now controlled by the fear of suffering. So now we cannot even have any, we can't stand up. We just run and run and run. Is there something in your life that has owned you? Because you will not face it in faith. It basically owns you. It controls you. You can't say no to it. You cannot say this is the godly way to do these things. You just give in. It owns you. It's frightened you so much. Do what's good. You may suffer. Do not fear their threats. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I want to put in the idea of the reason that it becomes so hard to talk about God with people is because we don't like the idea of being rejected. That you say, you know, can I tell you about God? And people reject the idea that I don't believe in God. So let me tell you what God has done for me. And you don't want to talk about that. So we are afraid to even tell people about God because we feel rejected. I never take it personally when people don't listen to me about God. I assume that they were invited for a party. They didn't want to come. I'm going to get another guy. If you've read that parable, Jesus was trying to get a party going. They didn't hear it. Well, you go get another guy on the street. Does that make sense? It's possible the reason you never talk about God is because you feel rejected. In a world that shames how we look online, it's very easy to feel rejected. Why do you feel rejected? You're just talking about God. Why would I feel rejected? It's not me they're rejecting. They're rejecting God. Don't identify you. It's God you're talking about. It's not. If they don't like what you're talking about, it's God they don't like. Does that make sense? Let's be able to do that respectfully. Not shoving it in their face. We'll talk about that more next year, but I want to talk about that. So don't seek comfort, seek righteousness. Am I saying that comfort is a bad thing? No. I'm not asking you to walk around with tight shoes that are killing you. That's not what I'm talking about. That's the most discomfortable thing to have. Imagine having those tight shoes. You're walking around, you're like, oh my goodness. No, I'm asking that you seek righteousness. Comfort will come by, and the rest will come by, but seek righteousness. It's when you seek righteousness, you're not afraid of the challenges you must go through to get to the comfort place. But the goal is not comfort. The God is righteousness. Amen? Amen? So don't be fooled by comfort. Be righteous. When you seek comfort, it's a very low standard of living. You got to rise above this stuff and let God use you in the most powerful way. Yeah, you hit that seat. After a meal, you may be gone. That's comfort right there. Hit that seat and you're gone. If you have one, enjoy it while it lasts. Amen? Finally, but not least, let's finish here. Don't lose hope. For in this hope we were saved. This is Christ's hope. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? There are things we want for God to do, but we got to have hope. Have faith. Another word for it. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Have hope. So yeah, whatever stuff when didn't work out 2019, have hope that God will come through. Have hope in 2020 God will bring some stuff through. Don't lose it all together. Say, man, that's been a tough year. Why should I believe anything? It says, wait patiently. The only difference between those who threw in the towel and quit and those who used their energy to rebuild it and kept it going is found in the word hope. I hope you've not thrown in your towel. Most people have hope at the beginning of the year. A lot of hope. I think it's going to happen. January is maybe the highest level of hope is going on. February, we're back to 95%. March, 94.5% is happening. By April, sometimes we just drain into 50. It's just April and we drain to 50. Because the way we think in terms of month. God doesn't think like that. By June, July, we don't even want to think about it because that's too much. Why should I think about it? It's disappointing. So many of us think we have hope. We have optimism. We don't have hope. We don't have faith. We're optimistic people. And the slightest challenge to your faith, to your hope, you give up. By September, nobody wants to talk about their goals. It says, now it's a shame to talk about it. I thought it was about hope. It was about belief. You see, if you believe, it's not how quickly you get there. It's because God will get us there. It's not in a year that God will get us there. See, as a church, we've talked a lot about being safe. That's a lot of work to do. We've talked a lot about taking care of one another. That's work to be done there. That's a culture that must come based on Acts chapter 2. We've talked about help, being authentic. Some of us are beginning to be more authentic. Others are still struggling with that. But it's work to be done, amen? And then we talked about growth, and that's going to start. We're going to talk about that a lot next year, next Sunday, going forward. And that is when we begin to deal with, have I grown in the area of being authentic? Have I grown in being safe? Have I grown in helping someone to know God? That's the stuff we got to talk about. But growth does not happen if you do not have hope. You will not grow if you do not have hope. Many people want to grow and then say, now I have hope because I've seen what God has done. No, it works the other way around. You trust God, you walk in God's ways, and growth happens. You don't command and then it happens. No, you walk through and you see how God transforms your life, and then things change in your life. Amen? So I ask you today, go home with hope. Don't go home defeated. If you're going to look at your 2019 resolutions, it's just a year, according to you, not according to God. According to God, you may have another 60 years to live, 100 years to live, if you can make it. So don't worry about the year. Don't let the year artificially condition what God is doing. God is at work, and it is not a respect of your human time. He's going to bring it around in God's timing. God bless you.